Let's get to the phone lines on Narduzzi and move on to our town's other embattled coach, Mike Sullivan. Limits, please.
Let's go to Jim in Jefferson.
Hey, Jim. What's up?
Good afternoon. You know, I think we're a little bit too hard on Narduzzi this year. You know, considering last year he was 3-9, this year he had 7-0 before he hit some issues. And I'll tell you what, that Clemson game was anybody's game. And what didn't help us is the fact that we lost Carter in that game.
Yeah, but what you say the issues, he had issues. What are the issues, Jim? What issues are you there?
Well, the issues this year is a lot of injuries on the offensive line, number one.
But that had,
we didn't even have our starting center for that game.
SMU had some injuries too.
We lost, that was a significant injury, okay? And we also had Carter went out. And then also they're trying to redshirt Hammond right now, which I think is a stupid idea. I don't agree with that. And I'm not impressed with Cade Bell and some of the calls that were made and the confusion that goes on.
It doesn't seem like they're communicating.
Well, Narduzzi hired him, but he's only been here 1 year now.
Yeah, not
even. We're getting a whole new system, and you guys are awfully hard on him for 1 year.
It's not 1 year. It's not 1 year. It's not 1 year. It's seven. No, 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 no. It's seven. It's 7 years. You take out the picket year.
How many games do you go to, Starkey?
Who cares how many games I go to? I'm like everybody else. None. Huh?
You don't even watch the Pitt games.
I do watch the Pitt games every week.
Do you?
Yeah, every single week.
It's surprising.
Yeah, why? No. I'm surprised.
I've had 10 season tickets.
My condolences.
10 season tickets on 51
I'm surprised.
Years.
I'm surprised that you wouldn't. I'm surprised you wouldn't know that Narduzzi's under 500 is past 7 years, other than the picket year, and you're sitting here defending him.
Look, we don't have the money to quash another contract right now. We've got to get NIL.
Well, that's an entirely different topic. Is he doing a good job or no?
I think this year he's done a pretty good job, but he's had a lot of injuries and a lot of things to contend with.
How about last year?
And I think, last year was a fiasco. Okay,
yeah.
It was a fiasco last year, and I'm not sure the issues there. And part of it was the offensive coordinator. Okay.
Well, he goes through a lot of offensive coordinators, I'll say that.
Yes, he does.
Bob, I noticed Jim and Jefferson doesn't go after you the way he goes after me, huh?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I like Bob Pian. I'm glad he's on the radio now. I'll tell you what, Yarnell last year played a nice game against BC, and that's one of the games we won. So let's give him a shot this week. But I hope they get another big back, because I'll tell you what, Reed is not big enough, in my opinion, okay, to handle Power 5, having him as the feature back. He's good. Put him outside. Use him as a slot receiver. Do something with him to get him outside.
Yeah, but there's even no guarantee that he may be back.
Well, Jim, let me just take a moment here.
Who knows how this is going to work?
Take a listen for a second. Let's throw out Narduzzi's best and worst years. So 11-3 and 3-9. And then I'm going to read to you his records against major college competition, okay? 7-5, 7-5, 4-7, 6-7, 7-5, 5-5, 8-4, and this year 6-4. Is that good enough
hold on, Starkey. Let's talk about, when you say major competition, did you see some of the teams the SEC played this past week?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, you're talking about his record, and you're saying against major competition.
Yeah. You throw out the Woffords of the world.
You're giving me total records. Well, you just gave one was a 5-5. I don't know what the other teams were there. But I got to tell you that the SEC plays a lot of crap teams, too. Okay, they build their records on that. You watch them in the beginning of the year.
Jim, I'll be honest with you. I appreciate you listening. You sound like a hopeless Narduzzi apologist. You act like 3-9 last year. Came out of nowhere.
I'm not a hopeless Narduzzi.
Yeah, you are. You actually are.
I loved Wonstadt.
Yeah.
51 years, I've seen it all, buddy.
Okay. Well, now you've seen a lot of mediocre football, then. You want to keep the coach.
I'm sure of that.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, Jim. You struck a nerve with Jim.
Clearly.
No, but it's hard to defend that because that's exactly what it's been. It's just been a bunch of average football, and it's 10 years running now. Yeah, there was a great year. Yeah, there was a really bad year. And in between, it's a lot of the same.
See, here's the thing I can't stand with them or the Pirates when people say, oh, he was 3-9 last year. You got to compare it to that. No, I don't. So if he was 0-12 last year and he's 4-8 this year, am I going to sing his praises? You don't get the benefit of being compared to having an unbelievably crap season. It's like when the Pirates go, you know, from whatever they were a couple years ago. Oh, they went from 68 to 74. I don't care. They don't get the benefit of that 68-win season where they weren't even trying to win as a baseline for everybody to judge their progress off of. Screw that.
No, and they came out and said it's time to make the playoffs. Okay, if that's your goal, then you fell short again. And it's the same thing with Pitt. You get to a point where you compete for an ACC, you want to make that a regular, and believe me, in this conference, they should be able to compete for ACC championships. There aren't that many great teams, elite teams. Clemson used to be. They're not anymore, I don't think. Miami's good, but how good are they? They've come close to losing. They should be competitive by now after the success they had back in Kenny Pickett's days and parlay that into something on a consistent basis.
All I heard then was that Narduzzi was taking, and I was believing a little bit of it myself, Narduzzi was taking the program to another level. Pickett, then 9 wins, and here we go. And then in year 9, he goes 3-9. Year 9 of Pat Narduzzi, he goes 3-9. And now he gets to benefit off that by singing his praises for going 7-4 when they didn't beat anybody. They beat nobody. And they're sitting here at 7-4, probably going to be 7-5, 3-5 in the conference. And we're going to compare it to last year and compliment him. It's been mostly mediocrity. It's been mostly just mediocre football as you really look at it for pretty much the entire Narduzzi regime.
And
the
as a result of that,
that's really not an opinion.
He's gotten
that's
a couple
fact.
Of extensions that take them into a precarious situation with regard to how much money they can afford if they want to make a change. If they want to make a change, they owe a lot of money in a buyout. We'll find out what that money is at some point, but it's significant. And for a team that needs money in the NIL era, that's hard to do.
Too hard.
So
on
my prediction is that he will stay for another year, and we'll see where they go.
I wouldn't be surprised at that. It's probably my prediction too. But I would wonder what Alan Green really thinks about what he wants to do with the football program. And more to the point, I wonder if he sat down with the Pitt people. Don't you make that part of your plea? Like, do I have carte blanche here to move on from?
He has to be the if he's taking that job, I would imagine that that'd be one of my requirements.
Me too.
So do I get to choose, or are you going to make my choices for me?
If your football program is beholden to your coach's contract no matter what and no matter how mediocre it gets, how is that a good job for an AD to come in here? Well, why would you want that job? And more to the point, what are we doing here? Are we trying to win in football or no?
Yeah, what's the end game? The end game has got to be competing for a championship.
Yeah, we signed him to all those years. So if he went 0-12 the last 3 years, would that be what we were saying here? Yeah, can't fire him. You just can't. He's locked in.
But it is a stumbling area for sure. It is.
It's mediocrity. It's since the Pickett year, they're under 500. And yes, I'll say
it's a spin cycle that hasn't changed, and this goes back decades. It's not anything different. It's the same.
This is worse, Bob.
But I'm saying the collective numbers are the same.
Yeah, they're basically the same.
Right.
They're basically the same. Although they've really hit the point, man, did that year really, really saved him, didn't it? And I do give him credit for that year. It's just that the years before it and the years after it have been right around 500, and that's just not good enough. And I thought, like I said, I thought we were heading into a new era where Pitt was building off that. And Narduzzi was taking it to another level. He did. He took it down a level or four, right?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be even harder in the next couple of years.
Since Pickett walked out the door, they're 16-17 against major colleges. Sorry that I throw out Wofford and Youngstown State.
No, you should throw out Wofford and Youngstown State.
Jim went after me there. He called me smartass, Bob. Did you hear that, Limits?
Oh, yes, I did. I was eagerly awaiting to potentially have to dump
him. Did you
have
your hand on the delete button or the dump button there? Because I thought maybe it went down that.
It was getting very close.
So is Annie calling me an idiot or Jim from Jefferson calling me a smartass? Which one was better, Bob?
Idiot was...
Can you compare that to smartass when he said that? Find that. We'll go with that.
All right. Now, switching to the Penguins, since it's a similar situation, you brought it up. See, I think the Penguins made a choice. It was as simple as this. When Malkin and Letang were up for contract extensions, they were later in their careers.
Yeah.
You saw where this was headed. They chose to double down. They, meaning Fenway Group, right?
Right.
They chose to bring him back. They could have saved money. They could have saved substantial money and gone into free agency. We had talked a lot about Vincent Trocheck. Vincent Trocheck, I think, wanted to come here, but once Malkin resigned, and he knew that there was really no way for that to happen, given what he was looking for, so he ends up going to the Rangers. But it's not just him. I don't think they would have made the trade for Carlson had they done that. I think they could have planned, keep Crosby, surround him with younger people, better people, and use the money that we're saving to do it. They chose another direction.
Did they choose another direction, or did they simply they go along with what Sid wants?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, clearly Sid wanted to keep the core intact. They've all mentioned that, right? And he loves the coach. So if you get rid of the coach, do you alienate Sid?
So if you're the Fenway Sports Group and has this, and you think that the best plan for us is to move on from these two, you're just going to say whatever Sid wants, we'll do, or how much pushback do you have as an organization?
And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that.
But do you understand what I'm saying? If they had done it.
Yeah, but what against whose wishes?
Again, if it makes Crosby better, maybe he would have bought into it. At some point, you have to understand it's going to come to an end.
There's no way that Sid buys into moving on from Gino and Letang.
Well, I don't think we'll know the answer to that until who knows when. But I'm saying, to me, the course would have been that's the course we're taking. We're going to bring in younger players who are good, can add to Crosby. We're not going to, and I honestly, Joe, I don't think they would have made that trade for Carlson had they done that.
That would have been great, but that's all in the past now.
I know it is.
What do you do with Sullivan?
Well, that's a question. We've seen Boston twice. Bruce Cassidy had a lot of success in Boston. Jim Montgomery's had a lot of success in Boston. They got rid of both quickly. Cassidy goes, gets immediate another job, wins a Stanley Cup. Montgomery, 5 days after he's fired, St. Louis decides, we're getting rid of our coach, not because we wanted to get rid of our coach, because we wanted to bring in somebody better.
Yeah.
The question you have to answer is, how much say does a new coach have? How much can he push an older team like this? Would it make that much of a difference right now? Do you think it would? Can it change?
I think it could, sure. That's why you change coaches. I'm tired of people talking about this team like there's no talent. There is talent here. There is talent.
You know, I don't know about deep talent. I think beyond the core players.
Enough talent where you could win with it. There should be. Except now you have a situation where you have guys with one foot out the door. Nobody's defending
each other.
I'll tell
you what, the way they've been playing, though, it's hard to watch because I don't see it getting any easier coming up with
this schedule. Would you fire Sullivan?
You know, I would consider all of that, yes.
Yes, I would too.
And I'd have to look at, you know, exactly what my end game is moving forward, because I don't think it's immediate change. I don't think anything's going to change this year. I don't. I just don't think. I think their goaltending situation.
Do you just let him sink to the bottom with them then?
No, I'm saying they could do that. What I'm saying do you think a new person coming in here is going to be enough shock treatment to turn them into a team that can contend and win?
Did you think when Sully came in here with the Mike Johnston situation?
Yes, I did, because that was a younger group of guys. And I thought still they had – it's a different view now. These guys are older. You still need contributing people.
Then you might as well just go down with the ship. Let him go down with the ship.
Okay, maybe that's what's going
but
to happen.
But I can tell you – almost every coach in NHL history would have been fired by now, coming off two disappointing seasons and starting this. And it would have happened today, if not a couple weeks ago. They just lost to the Utah Hockey Club. I mean, this is 6-1. This is just painful and sad and embarrassing to watch. It really is. And there's a lot that goes into it. There is. I mean, Kyle Dubas, if you grade, you know, 7 or 8 of his signings, Tristan Jarry signing, F. Adam Graves signing, F. Riley Smith, F. Graislick, F. Nieto, F. Achari, F. Re-signing Nedeljkovic, F. Carlson trade. That's a 0 points. Yeah. He's Kyle Blutarski at this point, Bob.
Okay, but maybe the marching orders were double down. We're signing these guys. Bring more talent in. Let's win now.
Clearly,
one more chance.
Yeah.
That's not worked out at all.
No.
So the question is, what do you do now? That's the question. And to me, you need an influx of talent. They have 29 draft picks coming up in the next three years. But the problem with that is, to me, how many third, fourth, fifth round draft picks in the NHL ever make it to get to a point where they're significant contributors? I don't think they – you need high-end draft picks. To your point all the time about selling off to get to a point where you can get a generational player. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can parlay those picks. The idea is to have a high quantity of them, and then you see guys like Gensel and Rust and plenty of other guys come around after round one. You do see that.
You do, but it's not as likely and as guaranteed.
Maybe
as
the biggest question of all is, what does Sid want and what will they do?
Right.
What about that situation? Because none of those guys are going to help in the Sid era. A third round pick in 2026.
No, they're stuck with what they have. And yeah, I'll throw this out, but I don't know that it's up to Sidney Crosby to decide what he wants to do. Do you ever see a point where he just says, you know what? I don't want my career to end like this.
I wonder what he wants. And he's such a competitor that you think that he probably believes he can still win with some of the talent around him.
You can't deny that there's
talent here. There is. But is it working here? Like Erik Karlsson is a wildly talented player. Letang's still a very talented player. Mm-hmm. Rust, Sid, Malkin, Raquel. They've got enough talent, I think, to at least compete for a playoff spot. Jari is a talented kid who's fallen apart. Why? Why did he just fall apart? Now you have the backup goalie as the team spokesman. Did anybody tell him he's no good either?
Well,
look at his numbers.
Now here's a dilemma specific to goaltending. So what do? They have Jari who signed long term. The best result would be you got to play him every day here and hope he turns it around so that they can potentially do something with him. The best goalie in their system is Blomqvist. But he's not here right now. He should be here right now, but you can't carry three goaltenders like they did because it affects your cap. So what do you do? How do you,
You're starting to talk me into just have this implode like it's not already to degrees that we've never seen before.
No, we've seen him before.
So don't trade anybody. Don't trade anybody. Just let this go and sink to the very bottom. Don't move the coach. Don't ask any of these guys if they'll rework or waive their no movement, no trades. Don't even trade the guys who could be traded. Just let it sink to the very bottom.
That.
I'm starting to think that.
All I'm saying is that they are stuck. They really are stuck right here. They don't, because I don't think anything's going to solve what's been happening. Do you think Malkin or Letang would agree to be traded?
Not Malkin, maybe Letang. When you read like Josh Yowie, he believes that the only chance would be Letang. Here's the part I can't figure out. Why, if you're Erik Karlsson, would you want to stay? What's here for you? Why wouldn't you want to go to a different team? Do you have any attachment at all to Pittsburgh? This has been an unqualified disaster.
Oh, he's contributed
from day
to
one.
It also, though.
Well, no, that's what I'm... He's been an unqualified disaster. And he's contributed to them being one. Why can't you approach him and say, Erik, this is only going to get worse. You're welcome to stay, but it's only going to get worse. I'm inviting you to leave. Why, if you're Karlsson, would you say, no thanks, I'd rather stay? Why would you?
Comfortability, if he's comfortable here. I don't know why. But the thing, if I were in charge, I'd be trying to get rid of some payroll money as best I can. They brought it in. It's their mess. They got to clean it up, and that's where it would start. Because when you go into the offseason, there are players you can bring in here who can help you as free agents, but they got to be the right signings. So far, they haven't done that. And you're right. All those ones you mentioned have not worked out at all. It's money.
No, the Kyle Dubas era has been a disaster. He had plenty of money to spend. He had plenty of latitude. The idea that he came here in handcuffs is a joke. He spent tens of millions of dollars, signed bunches of free agents, made a trade for a 100-point Norris Trophy winning defenseman, and it all failed. So let's not let him off the hook either. He's been a disaster.
Yeah, so now they're in a handcuff position, and I'm going to be anxious to see what happens because at this point, I don't think anything's going to change. But how long do they continue to do that? The later you wait, the worse it gets for this year.
I'm telling you, the more that you talk, I'm starting to buy into the idea of just letting it sink to the bottom. Just watching it sink to the bottom. And the other thing is, there's so many tentacles to this. The other thing is, this ownership group, it's just so... I've used this, and Yoey used it the other day, corporate. It really is. Like, is there somebody in ownership who lives and dies with the Penguins? I had somebody, a former Penguin executive, tell me when this whole thing went down with FSG that Pittsburgh and Penguins like family. This is not family. This is corporate. Next thing you know, Mario, of all people, isn't even part of this anymore, seemingly because he's pissed off at them. That's what it seemed like. And now you just have this corporate, seemingly non-personal, non-attached entity running the Penguins. And if they were winning, it'd be great. I get that. But they're not. And that becomes part of the story. You know, Bob?
Yeah, I as far as the ownership, you don't see anyone in town for them. They're not.
Who's making
engaging
the decisions? Tom Werner?
Yeah, I don't
know. His son? I don't know.
But they have to make some tough ones, and they've signed, you know, Sullivan signed longer term, and so is Dubas, longest term. I mean, he isn't responsible enough for digging this out or having a plan forward. I don't know what that plan exactly
is. They're becoming a blight on FSG's portfolio. I know that. And they maybe should have come in here with eyes a little wider open that, oh my God, the core of this team is getting really old.
But again, to me, the way to go at that point when those contracts expired, yes, you wouldn't have gotten anything for Malkin and Letang in terms of draft picks or anything like that because they were free agents to be, but you would have reduced the salary completely. You could have used all that money for something else at the time.
It all feels too corporate to me. I agree with you there, but it's too late for that.
It's too late for
something
that.
Something about
saying,
you know, Kyle Dubas has been given rein to bring in all these new people. Analytics on top of analytics. You saw this Jari thing, and I'm not against analytics, by the way. This Jari thing where how many different guys are working with him? He goes out to Western Canada. He's quoted as saying, I'm looking forward to seeing my family. Then they rip him off the trip in the middle of the trip, and they say that was planned. Well, why'd he give people that quote then?
Yeah,
how did he know he was going to do that? And then I heard somebody say, and I agree with it, oh, here's your slip, Tristan, like it might have went like this. You're to report to the Department of Goaltending, you know? It's so corporate, Bob. It really is. Did you ever hear the story of Bartleby the Scrivener?
No.
It's a Herman Melville short story. He got caught in the corporate world. He was an office worker. He showed up every day in his suit, went through his eight-hour day at his desk, and then he suddenly snapped. And little Bartleby, whenever somebody would give him an order, you know what he would say to his bosses? I would prefer not to. He rebelled against the corporate culture, Bob. There's a horrible ending to that story, by the way. But there is to this one, too. I just think it's sad to see the Penguins turn into this sort of, what's the best word for it? Non-personal, non-family, corporate.
It's a corporate. The word is it's a corporate world of hockey existence. They bought it as an asset.
Yeah.
I was actually a little surprised that they bought it at the price they bought it at.
Where it was headed. Yeah. Yes. Where everyone knew where it was headed.
But then, again, they doubled down on what they had, and they thought it could extend itself, not just 1, 2, or 3 years, but the four-year deals. I mean, you're expecting a lot out of guys who are going to be 40 years old. And we've seen this story told before from the Red Wings. You remember how they had Zetterberg and Datsyuk,
yeah,
and they haven't been in the playoffs since. It just ends at some point. Chicago with Taves and Kane and who else? Anaheim. All of those stories have the same conclusion when you wait long.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. You want to weigh in on the Penguins, Narduzzi? You know, part of me feels like we give Mike Sullivan tons of excuses with all of that talk. So to really simplify, I can't imagine almost any other coach in the history of the league surviving what he is now surviving. Two really disappointing seasons, non-playoff seasons, followed by a historically embarrassing start, and he's still the coach.